The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Tonight, SportsCenter presents a look back at the year's top stories, 2020 heroes, history, and hope. The three-hour premiere begins at 8 Eastern on ESPN, and you can see it on the ESPN app. I actually have a feature running in that special tonight as we were talking about the moments from 2020 that stood out the most for us in the world of sports. Mine was the first night that baseball came back, and you will see my thoughts on that special this evening. Meanwhile, we welcome you back to another hour of Get Up, coming to you as always from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. We are jam-packed on this Christmas Eve, and here we go. It is time to get up with Juju, who is no longer going to get down. We'll do the dance as the Steelers try to sort this out. Meanwhile, Big Ben chooses a fascinating word to describe his play. Is he right? And can he clean it up in time to save his season? Plus, Houston, we have a problem. What did last night mean for the Rockets' chances of trading James Harden as quickly as they may like? We'll answer that question right off the top as we get up with you on this Christmas Eve, starting right now. Plenty of football to get to, but we start with this. Rockets, Thunder, game last night postponed. Rockets didn't have enough available players because of COVID concerns. James Harden was one of those after he was seen at a club with no mask earlier in the week. Let's get the very latest from Adrian Wojnarowski. Woj, welcome back again. What is the latest here from Houston? Is there any way of knowing when they'll be able to play?
Well, starting with James Harden, Greeny, the Rockets, James Harden, there's an expectation they'll learn today exactly from the NBA how long it's going to be before he can be cleared to play again. And he's going to very likely have to go through a process of testing negative over a period of successive days away from the team in isolation before he will be eligible to play again for the Rockets. And not clear whether that'll be before they play again on Saturday in Portland and then again in Denver on Monday. And each game he misses, Greeny, is going to cost him money, because this was a violation of salary protocol COVID protocol. And so he's going to lose upwards of $573,000 a game. And so there's a lot more financial loss for him beyond the $50,000 that the league fined him last night.
And then there is the whole storyline of his desire to be traded. How does this play into that?
Well, it certainly doesn't speed up that process. And listen, the Rockets can still talk to teams. And, you know, ultimately, this is going to be, you know, a short-term a hurdle for both Harden and the Rockets. But it doesn't make it easier to trade him. You always want to be in a position of leverage. And, you know, the Rockets hope that that leverage was going to come from having James Harden on the floor, having him play well with John Wall and winning some games and making it look to other teams like, hey, we're not so desperate to have to move this guy. We're playing well, we're winning, we've got him under contract for 2 years. Well, that's not the case right now. And while the offers haven't been overwhelming to the Rockets, they expected that at some point as teams start their season and somebody else might be struggling or somebody else might feel like they need to make a move, the offers would get better. I just think all of that is set aside at least for a few days.
So let me bring Timmy Legler into this conversation and this thought. And Legs, man, we've seen the way this has gone so far for James Harden. He was late showing up, and then he doesn't appear to be in tip-top physical condition. And now this. If you were a team considering bringing him in, how much would this concern you?
Well, Greeny, if I were considering bringing James Harden in, none of what's going on now would affect that at all. What would affect my decision to bring James Harden in is what you have to do structurally from a cultural standpoint in terms of how you run your offense, the impact on everybody else on your roster, the young pieces that you have to give up, including future picks. That weighs heavily on me if I'm one of those teams thinking about bringing James Harden in, because it's such a dramatic shift to what you are going to do offensively, because anybody that thinks you can bring James Harden in and just run the type of offense that you believe in as a head coach is going to be effective, you're kidding yourself. If you bring in James Harden, he's going to play a similar style to what he played in Houston. That has a bearing on it because that's a big-time decision. You're giving up young assets. But what's going on right now with him wouldn't matter to me. If I'm a team that thinks that James Harden's the guy that can put me over the top and I'm willing to roll the dice on that, you expect him to come in with a new lease on life, and he's going to do the same things he's done for the last 7-8 years, which is be one of the best players in the league. So I wouldn't put too much into what's going on right now. Like, that's going to sway a team away from pulling the trigger on that deal. There are far bigger considerations than what's happened here over the last couple of weeks with James Harden.
A really interesting way of looking at that. Legs, thank you. Woj, stay close. As this continues to develop, we will definitely come back to you. Meanwhile, to the NFL, where there is a huge matchup this weekend between two old rivals, Steelers and Colts. That means Big Ben and Phillip Rivers, both drafted in the first round in 2004. Since then, Roethlisberger ranks third with 155 wins. Rivers is right behind him at fourth with 133. Only Brady and Breeze have more in the postseason. Big Ben has won two Super Bowls. Rivers has just appeared in a single conference championship. However, right now, these guys' teams are headed in completely opposite directions. Listen to Big Ben, his own thoughts on his own play right now.
I don't blame him. When you play like poo, you should get talked about like that. And so, I need to play better. So if I'm not giving them a reason to talk good, then I'm giving them a reason to talk bad. So, That's all on me. I need to play better.
All right, let me bring my football squad in for this morning. I have Lewis Riddick, I have Damian Woody, I have Adam Schefter, and Neek will join us as we continue as well. But Lewis, that was your game on Monday night. You said that you spoke to him. He just said for himself there, I've been playing like poo, his word, which is an interesting choice of word, but that's neither here nor there. Lewis, what sense did you get, and what is your expectation for them these last 2 weeks?
My sense talking to him before the game was that, look, there was a obvious awareness on his part that he needed to play better and that he needed to be more accurate with the football. He needed to make quicker decisions, see the field better, and that he needed to elevate his level of play in addition to the receivers catching the football and them trying to establish some semblance of a running game so they could be more multiple and be more balanced. Now, obviously, coming out of that game, it didn't look like they really had started hitting on all cylinders, because right off the bat, they tried to take some shots down the field, and Ben wasn't able to put the ball where he needed to. I remember, he missed Deontay Johnson on a shallow crosser where he put it behind him, didn't put it on target, and it took him a while to get going. And then on top of it, the offensive line was just getting bludgeoned. So although he said, look, I'm not panicked, I don't think this team needs to panic, we know what we need to get done, and we have time to get it done. Look, time is starting to run out a little bit now. So I think their sense of urgency, without a doubt, has ticked up a lot. That was not the performance they expected to put out there on the football field. And it is going to really start with him making sure he raises his level of play so everyone else understands just how urgent it is that they start playing better. No question about it.
Now, D. Wood, when you hear players-only meeting, even if they want to specifically say there's no panic involved, you hear players-only meeting, what thought goes through your head?
It's DEFCON 1 in the locker room, Greeny. It's that simple. You don't hold players-only meetings when everything is going like this, because you never have a players-only meeting when things are going well. You know, that's why when you hear Big Ben say that, you just think, oh, man, that's BS. Come on now. Like, there's some panic going on in the locker room, and a lot of it starts with Big Ben and his inconsistent play at the quarterback position. But I think the biggest area where the problems with the Pittsburgh Steelers lie is their lack of physicality up front with their offensive line. You know, that's really been their identity over the years. The physicality up front to go along with their defense, but they haven't been able to run the football at all. And with the lack of a running game, like Lewis talked about, there's no balance offensively with the Pittsburgh Steelers, and it's creating a lot of problems for this football team.
Chefty, what do you hear when you talk to people there and about them, about their urgency and sort of the situation they find themselves in after an 11-0 start?
It's not the same team that it was earlier in the year. This was a team earlier in the year that had Devin Bush at linebacker, that had Bud Dupree, that hadn't lost Joe Hayden or Robert Spillane to some injuries. They're trying to fill it in on the defensive side at the same time. They're not running the ball effectively. And so if they're not running the ball effectively, they're not controlling the clock. If they're not controlling the clock, the defense that is weakened is on the field more. And one thing leads to another, and it just led to three straight losses for a team that a month ago we were talking about whether they could challenge – the 1972 Dolphins, and now you're wondering if they could find a way to win a game the rest of this regular season against Indianapolis this week, which the Colts have a pass rush capable of exploiting the Steelers' offensive line, and the Cleveland Browns in the last week. And all of a sudden, you're talking about Cleveland being in contention for an AFC North title that a month ago never would have seemed possible.
Look, the ultimate indignity for the Steelers would be if that last weekend of the season, they wind up losing the division to their long-standing, I can't even call it a rival because it's been a hammer and a nail, to the team that they have dominated historically. If they wind up going to Cleveland and losing the division to the Browns on that final Sunday, I can't think of a worse way for their season to come to an end. All right, we are just getting rolling here as we continue. D. Wood has unloaded so far this year on the Saints, the Cowboys, the Jets, and others. Don't miss who he's going to crush this time in his Wood-based pun of the week. And then this week has been about as bad as it can get for Dwayne Haskins. But I'll tell you why, there may be a silver lining for Washington's quarterback. That's on the way. This is Get Up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
It is Christmas Eve, and we will have the New Mexico Bowl with Hawaii of the Mountain West taking on Houston of the American Conference. Games being played in Frisco, Texas because of restrictions, but it should be a good one. 3:30 Eastern on ESPN and on the ESPN app. All right, time for Wood. D. Wood, every single week we seem to change the name of your segment.
This is Knock on Wood, damn it.
Taking him to the woodshed.
Greeny, how is that possible?
Firewood.
Your soul is mine.
This week it is the wood pile, chopped wood.
Excuse me?
Sour wood. The lights shine brightest, of course, in Hollywood. Is wood fire turkey. Damian Woody is going to call someone turkey.
Perfect distillation of how stupid TV is, and I love it.
Okay, so today's wood-based pun is, wouldn't it be nice? So, D. Wood, I guess you're going to tell us about something that would have been nice. The floor is yours, big fella.
Well, I appreciate it, Greeny. Wouldn't it have been nice for the Rams to actually have prepared to play the Jets? And I get it. I understand it. They're coming off. They play on a Thursday night. They're coming off a high. They blew out the New England Patriots, totally dominated the game at home in SoFi Stadium. Okay, same weekend, Jets get thrashed by the Seattle Seahawks 40-3. They give up 176 yards rushing. Russell Wilson throws four touchdown passes. These guys in the film room looking at the Jets like, man, we about to beat these boys' heads in, favored by 17. But you know what? Herm always said, you play to win the game. You still have to play the game. Even though they're 0-12 or 0-13, whatever the Jets were. Greeny, they were 17-point favorites. And you went out there and converted 2 of 11 on third down. Jared Goff, 2 of 11 on third down. You couldn't run the ball. You couldn't throw. You had one pass over 20 yards in the game against the Jets. Against the Jets, Greeny. Come on, if you're the Rams. You had the inside track at the NFC West Division, and you slept on the only winless team in the league. Come on, dog. Come on, Rams. You got to be better than that. Why in the world could you lose to a team that's trying to lose? Come on, Rams. Do better. Do better.
You are 100% preaching to the choir here. Let me bring the crew in on that. Like, you know, Neek... there is a part of me that I somewhat jokingly came on here Monday and said I take back every good thing I said about the Rams, who I had been picking for the Super Bowl. But I guess, you know, D. Wood is making the point that they may have very well just sort of overlooked that game. How would you describe how concerned a fan of the Rams should be about that performance?
Yeah, I don't think they should be overly concerned. It's embarrassing, obviously, and it shows that you can certainly lose any given Sunday, which is true of every team. However, I wouldn't say one game makes a team any more than I would say that one good win would make a team, so one bad loss shouldn't make the team. The Rams should still, Rams fans and Rams players and coaches should still have confidence in their team headed in. And I think this actually might work out to their advantage. If the schedule continues to go kind of the way we expect it, then they might end up in a situation where they can play Washington in the first round rather than playing Tom Brady and Tampa Bay. So this works out well for everyone except for Jets fans.
That's correct.
Sorry, bud.
When you say no one win is that significant, you have overlooked the obvious in this particular case. And for that, I turn to my friend Adam Schefter. That one win will have great ramifications for the Jets, obviously. And look, I've said it all week long. Congratulations to their players and their coaches. They weren't trying to lose. They went out there to win a football game. But for the organization, I think clearly if the Jets had the first pick in the draft this year, Schefter, they were going to take Trevor Lawrence. What is your sense of what they are thinking if they wind up with the second pick relative to their current quarterback, Sam Darnold?
Well, that's the great question right now, Greeny. We've got a situation here where the Jets now have to evaluate everything. You could trade back. You could get maybe a team that wants one of these quarterbacks to trade up. There are a lot of different scenarios here for the New York Jets. They have to re-acquit themselves with the idea that there's a different way that they can go. And so it's going to be wide open. Like, it was a no-brainer at one. It's not so simple, too. There are a lot of different options that they have to sift through.
And one of the things they'll have to do is hire a new coach. We would assume, and in a perfect world, the coach will have some say in that. Wouldn't it be nice if this was a problem we didn't have to talk about? All right, guys, sit tight. Meanwhile, let's run the floor here through some of the other great performances from the NBA last night. And it begins with Zion. 2020 is here. No minutes restrictions. He finished his first game with a double-double. 15 points, 10 boards. Pelicans beat the Raptors 113-99. Zion played 30 minutes last night as he begins his second season. Meanwhile, new team, similar stat line for Russell Westbrook. The traditional triple-double for him. This one in his Wizards debut. 21 points, 11 boards, 15 assists. Washington losing, however, to the Sixers, 113-107. Joel Embiid, 29 points, 14 rebounds. And then, how about this spectacular finish? Buddy Hield, a last-second putback to give the Kings a two-point overtime win right there over the Nuggets. Nikola Jokic had 29 points, 15 boards, 14 assists, but Hield with the last-second bucket, and Denver takes the loss. Of course, tomorrow is all about the hoops. The annual NBA on Christmas Day tradition. Five of the best gifts you could ever ask for. Noon Eastern, you got Pelicans Heat. Then that's on ESPN. Then you go to ABC, Warriors, Bucks, Nets, Celtics, Mavs, Lakers is on ABC and ESPN, and cap it off at night with the Clippers and the Nuggets. It's all also available on the ESPN app. As we continue, Carson Wentz has been replaced by Jalen Hurts with a huge cap hit on the books for next season. Is there any way the Eagles can move on if they want to? That's the question. We've got the answer as we roll on. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, in the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
We roll on. Get up, Lewis Riddick. Let's take a look at this. Feast your eyes. Taj Washington is going to make one of the best catches, oh, that you will ever see. Lewis, take a closer look.
Oh, man. You know what? Wide receivers, man, they're getting more and more acrobatic. I mean, that's just Man, that's just crazy. Is that glove technology or athletes just getting better and better? I think it's that glove technology, man, because some of that stuff, I can't explain it.
Seemed almost impossible reaching around behind the defender's back. Spectacular play. Coming up, by their own quarterback's admission, the Steelers have been playing like poo. Find out, though, why one of our crew isn't ready to give up. That's on the way. Get up, ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
The NBA is in a gift-giving mood this Christmas Day. 5 games with the biggest names in basketball on the court.
Zion takes on the Heat. Steph squares off against Giannis. And KD and Kyrie head to Boston.
Then it's LeBron versus Luka, followed by Kawhi and the Clippers against the Nuggets.
Greeny, all of the games on ESPN and ABC.
And Get Up and First Take will get your day started, telling you what to watch for and what to expect.
A Hoops Christmas to remember, starting with Get Up and First Take.
Well, that'll be fun tomorrow. Here's hoping that any of the games tomorrow are as good as this one was last night. Celtics, Bucks, Giannis, his team down all night long to Jason Tatum's group, but now he is trying to bring them back. Giannis, Mr. Inside, with a 3-point play early in the fourth quarter, cutting into the lead. Then it's Giannis, Mr. Outside. They were down all night. That one cut it to a 2-point game. Giannis had 35 and 13. A minute and a half to go. Celtics tied at 117. Jason Tatum tied no more. That's unstoppable. He had 30, Celtics by 2. Ensuing Milwaukee possession. The newest Buck is Drew Holiday. What an addition he's going to be. Step back 3. He had 25. Back and forth we go. 9 seconds left in the game. Celtics down 1. Brad Stevens, what are we drawing up? Get it to Tatum. Now we're looking for a switch. Oh, we got one. It's Giannis one-on-one with Tatum. Could you ask for more? 4, 3. 2, 1. Oh, the bank is open. He banks in the 3 with 0.4 seconds remaining. One of 6 threes on the night for Jason Tatum. But hold everything. There's almost half a second left. Celtics up by 2. What is Milwaukee going to look to do? All right, obviously we're looking for Giannis. They're going to throw it up. That's Drew Holiday throwing it up. And does Giannis get fouled? Kendrick Perkins doesn't think a foul should have been called, but it was. Tristan Thompson with the foul. So Giannis, 63% free throw shooter last year, needs both to tie. First one's good. All the pressure on the second one. First game since signing the biggest contract ever. And the second one is short, off the front rim, and that's how it ends. The Celtics escape 122-121, and a great one between 2 high-profile Eastern Conference contenders. All right, back to the NFL. The Washington football team fined Dwayne Haskins and stripped him of his captaincy after he was photographed at an event with strippers while not wearing a mask. Sources tell our John Keim Haskins was fined $40,000. Yesterday, the quarterback himself addressed the situation.
My actions following the game on Sunday were immature and unacceptable. Put my teammates, coaches, and staff members at risk and let the fans of this organization down. I take full responsibility and accountability for that. Being a quarterback in this league comes with great responsibility and leadership, and I have failed to live up to those standards with my actions. I accept the consequences for my actions and decisions to take away my captaincy. I'll do everything in my power to make the most of my second chance.
Okay, so it has been a week where we've been very critical of him, as just about everyone has, and I take back none of it. What I will say, however, is that I was impressed that he stood there, or in that case sat there, and addressed the situation directly and took questions, which frequently, at times even in that organization, that level of accountability is not always available. So I will give him credit for that. Having said that, Lewis, what are your thoughts on this situation and where it goes from here?
Yeah, man, look, I couldn't be more disappointed, to be perfectly honest with you. This is a guy who I've had a lot of hope for, a lot of I put a lot of support behind because I do think he is a wonderful talent as far as playing quarterback is concerned. But something is not right as far as the choices that he's making, the attention to detail that he is, you know, administering in his career, and how this is all meshing together down there. And look, I know, look, I have been very critical of the organization itself in terms of how they arrived at the decision to draft him and the subsequent support or lack thereof that they have put behind him. And I think, you know, that's been well documented on my behalf. But these kind of decisions right here, at this point in time in the season, given the landscape that we're dealing with from a, you know, societal perspective, are just unexcusable. I mean, you've been given an opportunity to play again because Alex is hurt. Your team is in the thick of the playoff hunt. You're a captain. You know that you have a lot of scrutiny on you because of things that have happened before and the fact that you're a black quarterback, and people are going to hold you to a higher standard whether you like it or not, and you still make these kind of decisions knowing that you're putting yourself at risk, your teammates at risk, everyone that's around you at risk, and you still make that kind of decision. That's just unfathomable to me that you can do that. And it's very disappointing. I'm hoping it's something he can learn from because his future, to me, is not going to be in Washington. But this is extremely, extremely disappointing for me.
D. Wood, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I hate to pile on, but I have to echo a lot of things that Lewis just said. You know, I mean, think about this. He's, you know, Ron Rivera comes in. He's not Ron Rivera's guy. Ron Rivera brings over Kyle Allen from from the Carolina Panthers. So that should have let him know right off the bat that, you know what, everything that I get, I have to earn. I have to earn that. And you got on the field because of an injury to Alex Smith. And here it is, your team is fighting for a playoff spot. You lose a tough game to the Seattle Seahawks. And then you go out and do something like that in the middle of a pandemic. Like, it just makes me think, like, what is your thought process? What are you thinking? What's your priority as a player, as a captain, you know, for the Washington football team? It's just very disappointing.
Shefty, what are your thoughts as far as the future is concerned, in particular for Dwayne?
Well, here's the thing, Greeny. It's not the first time he's made a decision like this season. Earlier this season, he was fined for trying to sneak guests into a hotel while the Washington football team was on the road. And he said at that point in time he was going to learn from it. And then this happens. And when you speak to people around the organization, they say he's very likable and people enjoy being around him. But I think a lot of people think at this point in time that it might be best for Dwayne Haskins to have a change of scenery, to get away from the area where he went to high school, to get away from some of the people who have been in his life, to get away from some of the people that have guided him here, to make a break and to go to an area where he would get a fresh start with different people, with different voices in his ear. That's the long-term future. Short-term, by the way, they may need him this Saturday because it's not assured that Alex Smith is going to be starting due to his calf injury. I think there's a sense that Dwayne Haskins is going to wind up starting Saturday against Carolina in a game that Washington must win to win the NFC East. And what a storyline that would be in a week in which he's fine and has his captaincy taken away. Now he's got to win the game for a team trying to win the NFC East.
Yeah, against Ron Rivera's former team, the Carolina Panthers. So there are any number of storylines there. Let's see how it plays out going forward. Meantime, let's go on the clock. Bunch of other things to get to from around the National Football League. And Dominique Foxworth, you are first up. So the AFC North is very much yet to be decided. So 30 seconds. Who do you believe is going to wind up winning that division?
Yeah, I think it's going to be the Steelers. As tough as they've had the last 3 weeks, they'd have to lose 5 in a row to drop this division. That seems so unrealistic for such a well-coached team. I understand that their next two games are going to be tough. They have the Colts, and then they have the Browns. But I know the Browns, we feel like they're the new Browns, and it's going to be different. They still have had trouble with those top teams in their division, and I don't suspect that if they really need that win in the final week, I'm not sure that they're going to be able to get it from the Steelers. So I think the Steelers hold on.
That would be an unbelievable matchup, by the way, for the final weekend of the season. The Browns get the Jets this weekend, and as you mentioned, the Steelers have a tough game with Indianapolis. If both those games go that way, then that game in Cleveland decides the division. D. Wood, you are next. You were the first one who said on this show that you thought Jalen Hurts would start some games in Philly this year. So right now, what does Carson Wentz's future look like to you? 30 seconds. D. Wood, go.
Yeah, Greeny, I think his future is outside of Philadelphia. When you listen to everything that's going on, Carson Wentz has already made known in various back channels that he doesn't want to be a backup. He doesn't want to be in that position. And I understand the financial ramifications of this, and it makes it hard. But when you hear people talk about Jalen Hurts and the energy and the leadership that he brings to the table, it's going to make it hard for Carson Wentz to be back in that leadership role again for the Eagles.
Whoever would have thought that we'd be talking about this just a few months ago, but that is where we find ourselves. Shefty, next up for you, the Patriots. They have two games left and then the rest of their lives to come. What should we expect to be looking at from their quarterback situation going forward? Shefty, go.
Well, they don't have the solution right now, Greeny. Cam Newton has struggled this year, and you could say that that's for a lack of talent that the team has had at the wide receiver position. That has something to do with it, but obviously he has not played well. The team has not played well. It missed out on the playoffs. They're right back to where they were in the offseason, trying to figure out who will be the quarterback of this team long-term. Jared Stidham is the only quarterback they have under contract for next year. Clearly, they're going to have to make some decisions going forward.
All right, it's going to be an interesting time of change. Now, I have a few different things I want to get in. Shefty, we will get to this Lions news, but we're going to get there sort of an interesting way. We're going to get there through this pass that Matt Stafford threw last weekend that I feel like did not get nearly enough attention. Feast your eyes on this. This is Matt Stafford looking left, looking right, and then throwing the ball directly down the middle of the field. Mm. That is a no-look pass that would have made an NBA point guard jealous, that might just make Patrick Mahomes jealous. It does lead you to one of those who wore it better kind of moments between him and Patrick Mahomes. That is one spectacular play. So it's a great pass. But it brings us to this, Adam Schefter. Yesterday on this program, when we asked the same question that I just asked you about the future at quarterback for New England, Dominique Foxworth brought up the name Matt Stafford, that maybe it's time for a new start in Detroit and that maybe Stafford would be an option if he is on the move for someone like Bill. I just wanted to bounce it off you and see if you thought there could potentially be anything to that as we go forward.
Well, what I would say is this, that the Lions have an opening at GM. They have an opening at head coach. They're going to have to make some big decisions. And so clearly, I think the future of Matthew Stafford there is uncertain. They don't know what they're going to be doing with him because we don't know who's going to be running the team. Again, I don't want to make Lewis uncomfortable here, but if Lewis were the general manager, I would say, Lewis, how would you view it? What would you do with Matthew Stafford? Why are you asking me that when you get the guy on the set? Who would you do for the Lions GM job?
Yeah. Yeah, I knew where this was heading. I knew where this was going. I'm pretty smart.
That's good. Foresight. Right. Good GM characteristics.
Look, Matthew Stafford. That's right. Yeah, it's not that hard. Look, Matthew Stafford's a good quarterback. Matthew Stafford's a real good quarterback. He needs some people. Look, he's got a good left tackle, good offensive center, two good running backs. They got some issues at wide receiver as far as unrestricted free agency is concerned. Matthew Stafford should be sitting right where he is. They build around him, Detroit will be just fine.
See, there's your answer. Greeny, you're coming to me, and there's an elephant in the room. We're sitting next to the guy who interviewed for the GM job recently, and you're asking me what to do with Matthew Stafford. Why are you asking me that question?
It's a perfect example of me passing the buck. That way, if Lewis is upset, he can be upset at you and not at me. That's a brilliant, right? That's like that's hosting 101. I just passed the buck to Shefty. All kidding aside, Shefty, there is a story in Detroit today that I just saw you tweeted.
Well, essentially, a short time ago, basically, the Lions ruled out, essentially, their interim head coach. Robert Prince, the Lions' wide receivers coach, is going to be coaching the team Saturday against Tampa Bay. So Robert Prince takes over for Darrell Bevell, who took over for Matt Patricia. And so the Lions are going on their third head coach of the season Saturday against Tampa Bay. It'll be the wide receivers coach, Robert Prince.
To be clear, this is because of COVID reasons. This was not another firing. And for those who are not following it, go ahead.
Darrell Bevell was a close contact. He's been living in a hotel room. It was his 28th wedding anniversary this week. He could not be with his wife, with his family on his anniversary. He had to be in a hotel room. And now not only has he been isolated in a hotel room, but now he will not be able to coach his team while he's been given that interim head coaching title. He is out for Saturday's game.
Now, that is terrible that he can't be a close contact of his wife on their 28th wedding anniversary. That just doesn't seem right. Okay, we will continue here in just a moment. Lewis, take a deep breath. Juju Smith-Schuster does not have the dancing market cornered. Not by a long shot. We will give him a run for his money as we continue next.
8 days to the college football playoff semifinals, New Year's Day on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Tonight, SportsCenter presents a look back at the year's top stories, 2020, heroes, history, and hope. The three-hour premiere begins 8 Eastern on ESPN and on the ESPN app. And with that, I welcome you back to our studios. Greeny here with you. I forget up as we continue with you commercial-free now for the next 12 minutes talking football with you. And then at the top of the hour, it's time for First Take. And they're talking basketball, among other things, with everything going on around James Harden. Should the Nets or Sixers be trying to trade for the beard? Stephen A., Max, and Molly debating that and everything else at the top of the hour here on ESPN. We're with you commercial-free until then. Meanwhile, let's talk about this man, D-Hop. To no one's surprise, he's just been spectacular this season, leading the league in receiving yards and second most receptions on the year. If his output continues, he can become the first non-rookie since the merger to lead the NFL in receiving in his first season with a new team. And, of course, he had maybe the most iconic moment of the year on what is known as the Hail Murray. But yesterday, he was defending himself against criticism that he hasn't practiced enough this year. Here's what he said.
Yeah, man, I heard a lot of negativity about me not practicing when I first came to Arizona. For those people who don't understand football and who just watch, there's a reason that I play football and they watch. Please tell your friends and all you guys on the local station. You know, if you got anything negative to say about DeAndre Hopkins, I charge to come on shows, but I give a discount to come on the show for those people.
Okay. So, I mean, sort of hearkening back to Allen Iverson with practice, Dominique Foxworth, what do you think?
Man, I love DeAndre's attitude in this moment, and he's right. Anyone who's been around football knows that vets, they don't have to practice all the time. And to be honest, I think we make a lot of practice. It's not completely irrelevant, but at the beginning of this season, we were talking about how little pregame we all were going to see this year and how it's going to affect the play, and I told everybody, it won't really make a big difference. It'll seem the same. And that's what happened. These guys have been playing football their entire lives. A week or a day of missing practice is not going to suddenly turn them into bad football players. So I respect DeAndre Hopkins, and I hope that he continues to not practice if the results on the field are anything like what they've been for much of this season.
Lewis, what do you think?
Yeah, man. I mean, you're just fishing for stories and controversy when you bring stuff up like this for guys of his caliber, especially guys who like just who produce week after week after week. I mean, the best thing you have to do with your time is to pick on the fact and try and pick at the fact that he didn't practice as much as what as you think he should practice. You think somehow he's missing some kind of critical, you know, situational reps? Is he causing some kind of rift within the organization? I mean, people respect performance. People respect guys who can go out and make unique plays in the NFL, and that's what he can do. And in talking to him before we did their game against the Dallas Cowboys on Monday Night Football, this is the kind of guy I want him on my football team now, practice or no practice. And by the way, I don't really care about him practicing. End of story.
Yeah, not a game, not a game, not a game. We're talking about not the game I
not
die
a game.
For. We're talking about practice. We're talking
not
about
a game.
Practice. I'll never forget. I was hosting SportsCenter the day he did that, Allen Iverson. I threw to that. I had to come back and apologize for the language. Okay, next up here, it is time for the Chronicles of Riddick, our favorite feature, if only because it demonstrates him in this spectacular picture. This spectacular picture of Lewis Riddick in the
it's
Chronicles
gonna come up soon.
Of Riddick. Oh, we have an open now.
Why can't we change the name?
Okay, the Chronicles
of Riddick.
See, I like
that right there. I got to get that picture.
and that spectacular picture.
I like that.
So for the Chronicles of Riddick, we go through a couple of different items here. And, Lewis, let us begin as we look into Week 16 with some things you have some concerns about. And one of them I know, or maybe more than one of them, have to do with the L.A. Rams.
Yeah, you know, it concerns me a little bit how they're playing right now. And they have two tough division games down the stretch here against Seattle and Arizona. And it's situational football that worries you, because I know how much Sean puts an emphasis on that, like every coach. And it's third down efficiency on offense. And then third down efficiency on defense, where they have played lights out all year long. You don't want to start having problems crop up now, especially when you're in the thick of it here and you have to go against two division opponents that you know are going to be gunning for you in their very important games. So just watch those two areas moving down the stretch here. The second one here is the Packers and their ability to slow down Derrick Henry. We talked about it earlier in this show. And this is really what their Achilles heel has been all year long. Or let's just say it's been a question of theirs. Are they tough enough up front on defense that when a team decides to just kind of bloody their nose and say, look, we're going to take the air out of the football and keep Aaron off the football field, can you deal with that? Do you have enough firepower up front and enough bulk up front to deal with that? And then lastly, we've been talking about it all show, and we've been talking about it all year. Or rather, I should say over the past couple weeks, the Steelers and their offense and their ability to be physical up front. I know we talk a lot about whether or not they can run the football, and they can run the football for four plus. That's what keeps offensive coordinators calling running plays. I'm more concerned about the fact of this. If they have to throw the football, because that's really what they do anyway, that's just who they are, and they're not going to get away from it, can they protect against this Colts defensive line that I've seen them all year long? They have just terrorized quarterbacks, and the Bengals terrorized Ben on Monday night. So this game scares me for him this week. They better find some answers if they can't run the football as far as protecting Big Ben.
Yeah, that is absolutely right. Again, a three-game losing streak. The one thing we know they will not have this weekend is Juju Smith-Schuster dancing. That seems to be coming to an end. There'll be no more dancing in midfield for the Steelers star wideout, who has received some criticism for dancing at midfield of opposing team stadiums. And the player who's known for his dance moves yesterday talked about his decision to now knock it off.
I was dancing, you know, when we were undefeated, I was dancing. When we lost our three games, you know, I'm not going to change the person who I am. I think, you know, it's getting to the point where, you know, my teammates are being asked this question. My coach is being asked this question. I saw it more as, you know, no intention of disrespect. It's just more intention of, you know, my fans. So for the betterment of, you know, myself and my teammates, I'm going to stop, you know, dancing on the logos.
All right, there are going to be a lot of disappointed people about this. I can tell you, my 18-year-old son loves Juju Smith-Schuster exclusively because, in his words, he's the most lit player in the NFL because of his presence on TikTok. And Chef Dan, you were making that point. I saw it in your notes today, that this is something that yesterday, when he announced he wasn't going to do it anymore, that blew up on social media yesterday.
It touched a real nerve with a lot of different people. And obviously, the younger generation, like your son, Greeny, they love watching Juju do what he does. And again, I think he had done it throughout the better part of this season. And nobody seemed to notice him dancing on logos when the Steelers were 11-0. But now that they've lost to Washington and Buffalo and Cincinnati on Monday night, now that it's a three-game losing streak, and now that the dancing has attracted all this attention that it's gotten on TikTok, now, Juju's putting a stop to it, disappointing many people. And again, to me, the Steelers' problems run deeper than Juju dancing on the logo, but I understand all the traditionalists who say he shouldn't be doing this and he shouldn't be inciting the opposition before the game. Otherwise, he pays for it during the game, as he did on Monday night.
So we had a good discussion about this earlier. Dominique basically said he should dance. Lewis Riddick basically said teams are other players are going to get are going to get chippy with him as a result, and he shouldn't dance. Damian Woody, we haven't gotten your take on it yet, so you can break the tie. Should Juju dance or not?
Greeny, I came in thinking with one response, but he should keep dancing, man. He should keep dancing. Listen, I got daughters that's on TikTok, and they that's where they live at. Like, they love that. They love that type of stuff, man. And I think for me, be who you are. Be who you are, because that's when you're at your best as a player. No, none of this fake stuff. Since everybody's talking about it, I'm not gonna do it.
No,
be who you are.
I'll tell you what.
Listen, you don't play in it.
Okay.
Listen, bulletin board stuff is one that, listen, bulletin board stuff, I never bought into the whole bulletin board makes me play harder. You're going to play hard regardless. I don't care what it is. And Juju dancing on the bangle symbol, whatever, in midfield, so what? So what? Go ahead and dance, Juju. Go ahead and do it. Hell, I might even dance.
Okay, now, Lewis, I know you are frustrated by this. You are the man on the other side of this. So, as a result of that, I'm going to allow you to be the judge of who is actually the most suited on this program to be the one doing the TikTok dancing before the games. All right, Lewis, let's all take a look at these. And then, Lewis, you tell me what you think. Let's start with D. Wood. D. Wood's presence on TikTok is legendary. It is epic. Lewis, your thoughts?
Woody! Woody! Yeah, you got a little bit coordinated.
Don't knock me, baby. You see it?
You know, you're coordinated. I like it. I like it, though. I like it. It's natural. It's smooth. It's easy. I like that.
Yeah.
Hey, my net return is...
Dominique,
I like
the
that
next...
one. I give you a 10, Woody. A 10.
Okay, he's got a 10. Let's see what grade I get. Nick and Lewis, what do you think? Let's show our next contestant. This one is legendary. Come on. That is Greeny dancing with Anna Trebunskaya, dancing with the stars.
Wow.
Greeny!
Why are you laughing like that? I don't understand.
Impressive.
Not as funny. Not as funny as you think it is.
Ooh, shimmy that thing. I see you, Greeny. Shimmy.
Stacey's okay with this, Greeny?
What's the rating?
Greeny, you are serious too, aren't you?
Yes, I was. I lost a bet, and I had to do that as a result of it. Okay, but we're not done. The best answer of this group is Adam Schefter. Let's go. He's doing the Ray Lewis.
I see you. Give him the squirrel, Adam. Give him the squirrel.
Okay, Schefter.
I'm hyped.
Oh, man.
Yeah, Schefty.
Which is which? I can't tell.
Dominique, I'm speechless. That's your old teammate. What do you think?
I think Adam was fantastic. I know who is not. I'll leave it up to Lou to make the decision, but I know who is not. Michael Greenberg.
Lewis, who is the best answer?
Yeah, Woody wins. Greeny, I don't know, man. Greeny, I can't really put into words what I was seeing when you were dancing. So yeah. I'm gonna think about it, maybe talk to you on your, you know, some other time. And Adam, you know what? Adam, there's this squirrel behind my house that always steals all of our plants and stuff. You kind of reminded me of that guy out there, the way you were moving around. But it was good though.